Mic check. There we go. What's up, Journey? How you guys doing out there today? Give it up for our J-Fam that's joining us online. Let's go, J-Fam. Give it up for our Hokestin location. Yes, yes, yes. I am so pumped to be with you guys here on 4th of July weekend. I love coming to the Journey. In fact, I am coming back next month for the Rise Camp. So if you have a teenage student that is not involved or registered yet, can you register them? Because your boy is coming back in town, baby. And we're not playing no games. Rise Camp, shout out Pastor Brad. We're not playing games. Let's get it going. And so to all of you that are here today, thank you for being out. But I want to celebrate everybody that's on our J team that's serving in all the areas around our campus and both campuses. Give it up for everybody on the J team. Love Pastor Mark and Susie so much. Dear friends, I love the Journey. So I'm super stoked talking about something that I love. I love weddings. And it's wedding season, everybody. A lot of people getting married after this pandemic, which makes me very happy because that means I'm gonna go to weddings. I love weddings so much. In fact, it was quite an honor for me to be invited to my pastor's daughter's wedding last year, which was great because I don't presume that he would have to invite me to his daughter's wedding, and I thought it was amazing for us to get invited to that wedding because, again, I love weddings. I turn up at weddings. I show out at weddings. I will crash your wedding. See, some of you still don't believe me, so I brought some evidence. Throw up evidence number one, please. Yes. That is me and my wife, by the way. Dropping it like it's hot, she's trying to pick it up like it's lukewarm, but she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. I love dancing. Black people love dancing, by the way. Just wanna we thank you. A couple of black people here that do love to dance. You know, and we do things to we remix things. I think white people created line dancing. I think you guys have, you know, where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. Where did you go? Sort of at least somewhere in Texas it was created. You know, black people, we like to just kind of take something and put a little sauce on it, a little seasoning. So, you know, black people, we line dance too, but it's like this. See, all the black people are like, hey, love it. That's just how we roll. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, we wobble. That's what we do. So, yeah, yeah, I don't care how stiff you are at a wedding, I'm going to get you to dance. Evidence number two, please. We going Macarena. We going apple bottom jeans with the boots with the fur. We getting low, 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 if I'm at your wedding. And some of you still don't believe me. So I have evidence number three. Throw it up, please. Look at that face. Did I come to play games at that wedding? No, look at my face. Look at homeboy up in the corner trying to do my face. He don't got the sauce though. You know what I'm saying? So what's even cooler is that the invitation was addressed to my entire family. That's a big deal because when you're from New York, como se dice, you don't invite everybody to your wedding. Too expensive. Plated dinners cost a lot of money. My wife and I just celebrated 22 years of marriage, everybody. Yeah, we did. It was amazing. My wife was like, so what are you going to get me for our wedding anniversary? I said, girl, nothing. We still trying to pay off that wedding from 22 years ago. If you looked at the Discover card, you would discover that we still paying for that wedding. It's expensive. But after getting that wedding invitation and getting excited about what I was going to wear, what the playlist was going to be, how I'm going to turn up and all this stuff, I realized something. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, snap. Out of nowhere, I realized that my pastors live in Memphis, Tennessee, and I live in New York. We which meant that that wasn't going to be a business trip. Couldn't expense that one. That meant that we were going to have to get 4 airplane tickets, a round-trip Uber cost. That also meant 3 outfits for my 2 daughters and my wife, which is expensive. It was not going to be cheap. That meant a hotel stay. It meant a car rental in Memphis. It meant my time. And it meant giving them a really good wedding gift because my pastor actually knows how much money I make. So I couldn't chintz on that one. With the invitation came a litany of expenses. Even though I said yes, have you ever been excited to be invited to something? Maybe it was a hunting or a golfing trip, or maybe it was a fishing trip, and you knee-jerkingly said yes, and you just decided you were going to go all in. Or maybe it was your girlfriend that asked you to be a bridesmaid in her wedding, and you just said yes so quickly, like, girl, I'm going to get my edges snatched. Ooh, I want the off-the-shoulder dress. You know, you were so excited. And then she said, hey, the wedding is going to be in Cancun. You didn't know it was going to be a destination wedding. So now you're like, girl, I can't come. I'm broke. I can't get to Cancun. We all make those answers so quick when we want to do something impulsively. But the opportunity later causes us to pause to consider the cost. Today we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, which is located in the Bible's New Testament. Luke was a follower of Jesus that wrote down the words in the ministry of Jesus' teachings so that modern audiences like us could peer into it and see how it applies to our lives. And this is really great because Luke was a doctor, which meant his handwriting was pretty bad, I bet. That's why I'm glad that it's going to be legible on the screens in just a moment. To understand where we're going to go today in the excerpt of the text of Luke chapter 14, we have to understand that Jesus is about to be talking about banquet, about party. Isn't that amazing? Because all of us love a good party. And to a group of super religious people, he starts talking about a wedding feast and the etiquette about attending a wedding. Then he weaves into the story a person that is sending out wedding invites to a bunch of people that turn him down. It's a powerful use of story. And Jesus says that though the master in the story got turned down with lame excuses, he widens the invitation list to include the blind and the crippled, and the paralyzed, and the overlooked, because the master in this story, he's got guap. He's got chuck. He can make it rain. He got that cheddar popping. He's not like me and my wife and our ratchet attitude when we only invited people to our wedding that we thought could help us pay off our wedding. We like, what kind of car they drive? What kind of apartment size they got? We might get a good gift from them. See, you have to understand that everything that we're going to talk about is about banquet. It's synonymous with the kingdom of God in Scripture, this kind of idea of party. And God, in other words, has an invitation to all of us, regardless of where we land spiritually or what we think about the Bible today or how we describe our level of spirituality. There's an invitation for us to peer into what God would love for us to learn. And so Luke tells us that there were great crowds that were accompanying Jesus, and he turns to them and says something profound. Now, Jesus is trending, all right? This is not the moment where you want to mess up your good popularity. And for spiritual leaders and business owners and musicians and maybe even service providers that are joining us in this audience and online at our Hocusin location, we all love great crowds, don't we? We love the feeling of accomplishment. We love getting more revenue. We love the idea of feeling like we're successful. This is not the time you want to squander your influence. And yet Jesus is speaking to a crowd of uber religious people that think that they are the party. And he turns around to this audience and he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, for many of us, including me, this verse would be so much easier to swallow if it just read like this, that all you have to do is hate your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, your ex-wife. Your brother and sister-in-laws and Jeff Bezos' life. That'd be simple. But Jesus says, hey, I'm not looking for a version of love that's sugary. I'm looking for something that is committed. He says, unless you're willing to hate those things, don't even RSVP to the party. Jesus says, you've got to love me more than your people and your possessions and your personhood, which indicts our mentality in our modern culture. At the height of his career, at the height of his ministry, Jesus raises the bar. He raises the standard. He makes sure that the demands are more absolute, more extreme, more exclusive, and the superficial disciples start to fall away. But what does Jesus mean by hate in this context? He's actually calling us to a cost analysis. We're talking about a unique way that Jewish people, particularly rabbis, would express the difference between love and hate in terms of preference. It's a decision of what are you going to prefer more than the other, or are you going to love something a little bit less? So similar to our penchant for surfing the web to compare costs, Jesus says you're going to have a big chasm between what you love and your love for me. And when we think that we can escape, he just keeps pressing down even further. See, it's free to accept an invitation, but it's costly to make a trip. And Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, the word carry there is to bear pain or to feel some suffering. He knew that there was nothing comforting about carrying a cross, and the rest of the culture would have known that as well. They would be shocked to hear this because they knew the horror of a cross. They knew that it was a one-way destination towards your own execution. And here's what I believe. Jesus doesn't simply call us to believe that he existed. He doesn't just call us to believe that he can save us. Many of us in this room believe that, but I can question whether or not we're truly disciples. See, the word disciple actually means learner. A disciple is a student of Jesus, a learner of Jesus. And many of this room and those joining us at our other location and online believe that, but I wonder if we're really disciples. Because we love our relationships often more than we love Jesus. We love our sport leagues and sport teams more than we love Jesus. And sometimes our shoulders are not raw from carrying our own cross. And I can say to you today that those who come to church weekly but who do not bear their own cross cannot be a disciple. Those who attend a J group but don't bring their cross into their workplace cannot be a disciple. Those who prayed at the end of a church service but don't want to carry their cross every single day cannot be a disciple. Those of us who have a cross tattoo etched into our skin or we're wearing one around our neck or in our earlobes but do not bear our cross anyplace else cannot be a disciple. I'm not telling you that you're lost. I'm just questioning whether or not you're a learner. So I'm here to push us this morning. I'm here to gently instigate something to us because I do believe that Jesus is trying to help us with something. Many of us consider ourselves Christians in this room, but consideration isn't costly, but discipleship is. You may consider yourself something, but until you're a disciple, it won't cost you anything. Jesus knows that many of us are specialists at getting things for much cheaper. We're just good at it. We know how to surf the web. We're savvy at figuring out the best price. And so now we have a generation in the 21st century that we could call discount disciples. Discount disciples. Or there's another group. Have you heard of them? They're called coupon Christians. Just trying to figure out how you can have this form of faith that doesn't cost you anything. And in our grow quick culture, many church leaders, including myself, may have presented a gospel to you that doesn't present a cost analysis. But consideration isn't costly, but our discipleship should be deadly. Deadly to our own desires and deadly to our own worldview so that we can lift up Jesus in our culture to an onlooking world. You know, a couple of years ago, I was so excited when my family and I were able to build our first house. We're from New York City, so even getting out of New York to go get you a nice house, moving on up to the East Side kind of thing, we were pumped, and it's really cool when you can build a house from scratch. We got bougie. We started chewing our gum differently. You know, we were just, when you're just kind of rolling your gum around a different way. And I remember going through with my wife, and we're just picking out all kind of stuff. We want this kind of carpet. We want this knob. We want French doors on the bedroom. We want the washer and dryer upstairs. Who's going to carry laundry downstairs, right? And we're just, you know, picking out all the stuff. And then we get to the office where they tally all of it, and they told us what it was going to cost. Ladies and gentlemen, we went from granite countertops to floor mica real quick. I was like, can I cut my chicken on the floor mica the same way? They're like, yes, sir. We take the floor mica. Because we counted the cost. So Jesus is beautifully weaving the story. He says, here's the banquet that everybody should come to, but you have to consider what you're going to have to build to get there. This is why he says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish. All who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The key word here is desiring to build. All of us desire to build something, to build a great career, to build a great marriage, to have a service that can help your clients find health and wellness holistically. We all desire to build something. But have you ever pondered how sacrificial the call of Christ is? That to get to the banquet, we have to consider what we're willing to build. Has the call of Christ really altered our lives lately? Because counting the cost takes contemplation. The literal phrase that Jesus uses in this wonderful sermon, it helps us to understand about us thinking about something before it commences. It's like having a project, but understanding everything that goes into it, the time spent, the physical effort that's going to have to be expended, the relationships that are going to be impacted, and it takes work. We back in New York are getting ready in September to move into our first permanent location. I'm so pumped about it. It's amazing. 12 years portable as a church, and we're moving into permanent space. And if there's anything that you can learn about real estate projects, is that it always takes longer than you expected, and it always costs more. When it comes to our spiritual lives and looking more like Jesus, it's going to take longer than you expect, and it's probably going to cost us more than we ever bargained for. The truth is, we have a microwave mentality, but we serve a rotisserie God. Slowly trying to make us into the image of his son, Jesus. Consideration isn't costly, but discipleship is. And Jesus says there's a banquet that we can go to. You need to consider what you're willing to build, but he also says, what are you willing to battle? That's why he says, oh, what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Life is all about battles, isn't it? I think a lot of us in this room and those watching have battles. If you're married, you know about battles. It's a battle just to watch a series. We got one person, their spouse is just over there just like, that preacher good. I like him. That preacher good. You know it's a battle when you got to take that little stick of spearmint gum that they call a remote control on the Apple TV, and y'all are just trying to work it out on that. You know exactly how that feels. It's a battle. It's a battle if you're a parent. Is there anybody else besides me with teenage kids or middle school kids? And you've look at that. See, parents are getting a revival right now. Have you ever looked at your spouse and said, is it too late to give them up for adoption? I mean, is there any difficulty with that right now, right? Life is a battle, and there's all different types of things that we have to battle. Battle forgiving somebody that hurt us. Battle getting over weaknesses and habits and hang-ups that we have in our lives. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to get to the banquet, consider what you're going to have to battle, because there is something that we struggle with. So he goes on and says, therefore, if any one of you does not renounce all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Because becoming a disciple of Christ is not an invitation to add more to your life. It's an invitation to subtract more from your life so that we can fulfill what God wants to do in our hearts. See, here's a great definition for renounce. It means to formally declare one's abandonment or claim or right or possessions, or to reject or to stop consuming something. See, we as a church and as Christians many times are known for what we're willing to rebuke instead of what we're willing to renounce. And maybe self-renouncing, getting in a posture of what am I going to do to help others? What am I going to do to make a difference in the life of others might be the best way for us to grow spiritually today. So how do we do this in a practical way? My friend Mike Burnett likes to say it this way, and I think it's cool. Read your Bible and do what it says. It's kind of simple, right? Like, read your Bible and do what it says. Because what it'll do will help us to get to this banquet by building and battling things in a very effective way. It's sadly common for many of us to underestimate the life that Jesus calls to us, which is expansive. The life Jesus wants for you is expansive, but it's also expensive. There's a Bronx rapper. I'm from the Bronx, man. And I love this rapper. When I get to weddings and they play that lean back, a lean back, I just start leaning back on them. They don't be ready for me. Leaning back, right? And Fat Joe is the name of this rapper. And he went viral recently because he was watching a battle on Instagram. Versus is the thing that these rappers battle on. And there was a group called the Dipset versus the Lox. And the Lox annihilated the Dipset. And the leader of the Lox, his name is Jadakiss. And he was talking about how Jadakiss's price is just different now if you're going to book him. And he goes, yesterday's price is not today's price. The price has gone up. In that classic New York swagger. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit wants to say to their church, yesterday's price is not today's price. The price has gone up. Because for so many of us, we go through our lives and the Holy Spirit is trying to ask us to step up our game, but we have become fixed-rate mortgage Christians. We just lock in at a certain percentage. Well, I'm going to go to church this many times in a quarter. I'm going to serve this much on the J team. I'm just going to do this amount. We're fixed-rate mortgage Christians. But the price has gone up. For some of us, we're refi Christians. Well, like, how do I have to not go to a J group and still get blessed? How little prayer do I have to do and still get God's hand on my life? We're constantly trying to negotiate prices. Now, look, everybody, do you receive more ministry from the journey than you serve the journey? That's a big question, because the price has gone up. Yesterday's prices is not today's prices. Look, I live in New York, right? You guys live in Delaware. We're accustomed to high prices, especially when it comes to real estate. And if there's anything that was frustrating to me about the pandemic was the Texodus. You know what the Texodus is, right? Everybody just moving to Texas. Like, I hated it. Hated it. But there's a thing called a cost of living indicator. And if you go online and you put in Newark, Delaware, and Austin, Texas, you're going to move to Austin, Texas, you might just pick up and leave because you can get a lot for cheap in Texas. But if you put in Newark, Delaware, going to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, you'd be like, I'm staying in Newark for the rest of my life. Because it's expensive to live in Williamsburg. Many of us are living someplace right now, and if we put into our proverbial calculator of moving, some of us are making decisions to stay stuck in a place because we don't want to go someplace else because it's more expensive to live in happiness and joy and contentment and peace of mind. That means you're going to have to get rid of some friendships and relationships that are holding you back. That means that you're going to have to change some habits. That means you're going to have to get in your slot and spot more frequently than you are right now. That means that you're going to have to do something to live in a different place. But if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, well, guess what? Consideration isn't costly, but discipleship, it is. Now, the sneaker market has gone crazy. Have you noticed? I see homeboy right here. Man, you killing the game with them sneakers. I've been I've been looking all over the journey, just trying the Lord to help me not to break people's ankles and just take their shoes because it's just so nice. I got some good sneakers. The sneakers are so expensive nowadays. I have a daughter. She's 16 years old. She's a sneakerhead. She could tell you every sneaker on the planet, how many sneakers were made in that one drop, when they're gonna drop. She's got all kinds of apps. She's always, I mean, she's into it. Sneakers are the new asset. In fact, there's a website called StockX, where you can buy sneakers and resell them and make money. It is the new hot thing for you to do. In fact, let me just show you some of the sneakers that are popular right now. Look at that. You got the Travis Scott's and the Off-White, and you got the Yeezys and all of these sneakers. Some sneakers cost $3,000. Look, for $3,000, them sneakers better walk my dog. Wash my clothes. $3,000, you crazy? But it's the big thing. I was at this church recently, and I saw this guy, and he had some really cool sneakers on. I was like, yo, your sneakers are amazing, bro. Those are great. And he was just like, yeah, man. Because when you got cool sneakers, that's what you do. You just be like, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. So he eventually asked, he said, hey, what size sneaker do you wear? I said, I wear a size 8, and it was really, really cool because the next day he came back with those sneakers. I brought them for you. Look at this. What? I'm telling you, these things ain't no joke. Look at this bad boy. It got snake skin, crocodile, alpaca, mountain yak. I call these my Carole Baskin Jordans. So let me teach you something, because some of y'all aren't sneakerheads yet, and I'm going to try to help you right now so that you can start making more money. There's something that you have to know about sneakers. Every sneakerhead in here knows this and has to know this for sure. Sneakers have to be resold, so if there's anything that you have to do, you cannot get a crease in those sneakers. So what do? You stuff them bad boys. Every time you wear them, you can't get a crease in your sneakers. It devalues it, man. Look at that. Why you think I'm not wearing these today? I'd be like, good morning, Journey. How are you guys doing today? So glad. So glad. Just walking up steps sideways. So glad to be here today. Toes all in here under my shoes, just making sure I don't get a crease. Can't do that. You remember when you were about to get married? And somebody proposed to you? I saw a girl, she was like, no. That's why I've been coming to the Journey. So I can find somebody. Oh. For those of us that do remember being proposed to, you knew you wanted to make it a beautiful moment. It was supposed to be gorgeous and romantic and just so nice, and it was gonna be just so memorable. Well, there was a guy recently, he wanted to make sure that it was the most memorable experience. He finally found his boo thing, and he's like, man, I'm changing my status on Facebook. Me and you, we're connected forever. And he got all his boys together. He got a photographer together. He got all of his family together. And he went viral for the way that he proposed. In fact, I brought a little picture of it so you can see the proposal there. He's like, girl, I love you so much. I love you more than anything. Anything, girl. Except my Jordan 11s with the patent leather that I wore today. It's really comical, though, right? Because he put a ring on her finger that cost more than his sneakers, but the sneakers were more valuable than the ring or her. He's surrendering everything but the sneaker. And we can look at it and say, isn't that so hilarious? But maybe Jesus is looking at many of us right now, and we're in a posture of surrender, saying, God, I love you. I'll give everything to you. But Jesus is looking back at us, and he's saying, well, you don't love me more than that, because if you're not willing to get a crease in that one thing that you're keeping from, do you really love me the way you should? Listen to me, everybody. There's a lot of things right now that God is looking in our lives, and he's saying, can I crease that? And for many of us right now, I want to ask you a question. If you're not willing to get a crease in a particular area for Jesus, how can you be crucified with Jesus? So Jesus may be asking you today, can I crease that particular area in your life? Can I crease that certain thing that you just keep holding on to, that you keep holding back to me? What is it today that you may be holding on to and saying, this is so valuable to me, I'll bow down, but I'm gonna sweep the floor and make sure everything is right? And Jesus is looking back and saying, no, if you gotta sweep the floor, if you're unwilling to let something crease, can you really be following me completely? Can you put a crease in your gym membership every so often so that you can be generous to somebody overseas? Can you put a crease in that ballet practice every so often so that you can come and serve on a J team? Can you put a crease in your schedule so that you can be a part of a J group following him completely? Can Jesus get a crease in an area in your life so that you can see him more completely? See, consideration is a costly, but discipleship is. One guy tried to follow Jesus. He said, hey, let me go bury my father first. And Jesus says, no, if you're not willing to get a crease now, you won't be willing to get crucified later with me. Another person comes along and says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me bid farewell to my family. And Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So many of us are praying for things like, God, I need an increase in pay. I need an increase in relationships. I need an increase in favor in my life. And Jesus is looking back and saying, you don't need an increase. You just need a crease. And I'll do something big in your life. I went to my pastor's wedding with my wife. These are my pastors and my wife here. It was such a beautiful wedding that we went to recently. Look at that. Aren't they just gorgeous people I'm connected to? Wow. And it cost me a lot. I had to pay a lot. I had to get those tickets. I had to kennel my dog. I hate my dog.
I do.
But my pastor was just as invested in the invitation. So yeah, you can clap for that. Because here's the good news. Your heavenly Father is invested in the invitation. So it cost me a lot to go to my pastor's wedding, but it's not gonna cost us anything to go to the wedding banquet that the Father, who we know is God, is inviting us all to. Because Jesus has already paid the price on the cross for all of us that are in this room and watching today. And I want to tell you today, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to forfeit his soul? So if you're here today and you've just kind of been considering becoming a follower of Jesus, or you do consider yourself a follower of Jesus, let's take that over the edge. Because you know what? When you have creases in your sneakers, you walk more comfortably. And the walk that Jesus wants to give you is not one of self-righteousness where you're trying to be perfect and not mess anything up, not log on to that website, not do this bad thing. No, it's a more comfortable walk, because he's like, the more you crease for me is the more fun it's going to be walking with me. So if you're here today and you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, while every head's bowed, nobody looking around, we're going to take the next 15 seconds and give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And if you want to participate in a fresh start prayer, you're saying today, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never prayed this prayer before at all of our locations online. Why don't you raise your hand if you're saying, I want to participate in a prayer. You've never started a prayer before to say, God, come into my heart, my life. I want you to raise your hand above your head. If that's you for the first time, look at that. People are raising their hands in this auditorium. And then we're going to help everybody pray this prayer. Come on, everybody, hearts big, wide, open to God. Help us say this prayer. Make it audible for the people that are praying this prayer for the first time. Here it is. Father, I've sinned, and I'm sorry. But today, I make Jesus leader and Lord in my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me strength to follow him all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate that decision. Come on, everybody.